right.
And don't listen to him, people, because he keeps you in trouble. Oh, and he don't come at you ugly either. I'll tell you, he'll sit with you at church or wherever. He can get by you and talk to you. Oh, praise the name of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm not really sorry. I love the Lord and I love his blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. Woo!
Amen. God bless you, Sister Treva. You know, as long as you're misbehaving, that's a bad thing. But when you're following the leadership of the Lord, you're behaving in the right way, and I think the Lord's pleased with it. I always love to hear your testimonies. It always touches my heart. It's been a beautiful Lord's Day. Bless you, Sister Becky. Bless you. God bless you, Sister Becky.
I'm thankful tonight that I'm a child of
word from anybody else. Follow the leadership of the Lord. We're here to serve Him, give Him honor. You know, it's been a beautiful Lord's Day.
Amen.
Been a beautiful day. It's even better for the Strode family, wasn't it? But it was good for all of us, because I think there's not a one of us here that hadn't been concerned about Mackenzie. And I just stood out in the parking lot Wednesday night and talked to Brother Strode and asked him about, what about Mackenzie? He said, I just don't know. You know, he couldn't say. And, you know, we don't know what's going on with each individual. You don't know if they've been saved or if they're unsaved until they tell us. But, you know, back a few weeks ago when we had our youth fellowship night that we got together and we eat and talked and had fun and was go watch a movie about the Prince of Egypt, a cartoon. And before we had that movie, I took time to speak to these children. There was about 20 of them that come that night from, I'm not sure how old Noah was, but Noah was with us. But from our classes from 7 to the 13-year-olds, they were there. And before I started the film, the first thing I asked them, I said, what's the most important thing that you could ever do in your life? And Mackenzie's the one that spoke up. She's never one to say anything or say much. But with all these kids and even the adults that was around that was helping us, she's the one that spoke up. She said, to be saved. And I told her, I said, that's right. And she hadn't told anybody that she'd been saved. But it sounded like to me she's already been a witness. Because she said what the most important thing was. Bless you, Sir Robin. Y'all remember this. Y'all remember us that have these children that's teaching the Bible studies on Wednesday nights. We need your prayers that we have the leadership of God when we have these children and we teach them, try to train them in the way they should go, just as the parents are bringing them. Not just their parents bring them, but sometimes they're bringing children that don't even come to church here, but it's given us an opportunity to tell them about Christ, tell them about God, to teach them the truth. So y'all, we got, like I said, from 7-year-old up to high school, the ones that are graduating seniors, you know, we all need your prayers. And y'all pray for me tonight. If you have your Bibles and you'd want to turn with and read with me, we'll be reading from the 15th chapter of Romans. Excuse me. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And I'm going to stop reading right there. And something that I want you to think about here is that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I want you to think about how it tells us in verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. But you know what's up on my heart tonight, and I appreciate each one that has come here tonight. I really do. And y'all heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. I love my church. I do. I love my church. And this that was laid up on my heart, I thought, well, why me, Lord? Why not me? Because I'm a member of this church. I'm a man that he's called out to preach his word. And like I said, I love my church. And there's no doubt there's a lot of things that's happened here in the past week that I've been grieving over. I have grieved over Sister Connor, of our loss of her, but she's in a better place today. I don't doubt that one bit. I have grieved for her family because of the things and the circumstances, the way they've happened. And I've grieved for our church. My heart has been broken all week for this family and for our church. And I'm not up here tonight to stand and take sides and say who's right or who's wrong. Sometimes, you know, I have trouble trying to figure out what is godly, what is right. And what has become traditions of man. You know, sometimes it seems like, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes it seems like it's a little gray to me that, you know, sometimes I really don't understand what is godly and what traditions that man have set up themselves. But you know what? I believe that and I might not be able to explain this right when I'm saying I don't understand. Sometimes it's a little gray that, you know, sometimes man have set things up to try to protect God's word, and man have set things up to try to protect the church, to try to protect the truth. But sometimes I wonder if things that man have tried to provide and man have tried to do to set things right, sometimes it hadn't hurt the purpose, that it hadn't hurt God's word. But you know what? I believe with all my heart what they've done it with their heart, thinking they're doing what's best and what's right. You know, I've heard things this week that I'd just rather not hear. You know, I've worked with Sister Connor's nephew's wife, and with all that has gone on here, you know, I didn't know even how to face her. I didn't know what to say to her when I saw her. You know, because people talk, we do. Even God's people, we talk, we say things, and some we repeat things, and sometimes we don't know if it's true or not, but yet we still repeat it. We pass it on to somebody else. You know, sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. We do. If we don't know the truth, we don't know the exact story, we don't need to pass it on to somebody else. There's a game that we play sometimes, and I know y'all probably even played it, that you know you start out and you tell this little story and you whisper in a person's ear and they pass it on to another individual and they pass it on to another. And by the time it gets around to where it started, it's nowhere close to what the original story was. Not that anybody mean to do any harm. It's just sometimes that we don't really have the whole facts of things. And sometimes we say things that we mean it one way, but people take it another way. But I end up seeing Sister Connor's niece this week. And I come up to her, I said, "Do you understand what went on with our church, Sister Connor?" She said, "Well," she said, "I understand that the preacher that she was wanting to preach her funeral wasn't allowed to preach in y'all's church." You know, there's something that I was told from the beginning of time when I become a member of this church, and even the time that I started trying to preach the gospel, that there's one thing that we do and that we're allowed to do, us Missionary Baptist preachers, us preachers of Fairview Memorial, if we have the opportunity to go anywhere and preach, that we are to go. But we will protect our pulpit. Okay? I understand that. And I think it's something that we need to do. But last Sunday, I had mixed feelings. I understand that we need to protect our pulpit, but at the same time, I understood what Sister Connor wanted. Sister Connor was always good to me. I believe she loved me and I loved her. She's always good to my family. But the things that she wanted, it wasn't granted. But were we wrong? Were we right? You know, I was confused. Well, it's not a regular church service, you know, but still, I've heard people that went to funerals. And I've been to funerals, and I'm sure you have gone to funerals, that you've heard the preacher get up and they preach what they believe. They may do a memorial service, that is true. But they will stand up and preach, and there's no doubt that you've heard things that you've heard these preachers say that you've disagreed with. That you felt like that it wasn't right. That you didn't believe that way. Well, if Sister Connor came here and we held a service here at this church and we let a preacher that come from somewhere else, or not just Sister Connor, but anybody, and we allowed them to hold the funeral service in this church, and they get up and people come into this church, and believe me, people look at us. They look at us. They look at our church. They look at us. Sometimes they don't understand what we believe, or like Sister Roba was talking about, they make fun of us. I love my church. I love Sister Connor. And it breaks my heart that what she wanted didn't happen. But when I was talking to her niece, I told her that we was pretty strict and believed with all our heart what we believed in, and we wouldn't just let anything behind our pulpits. She said, "Well, no," she said, "I'm sure you wouldn't." She said, "I understand that." She said, "I don't think you'd want a Jehovah's Witness or somebody else to come up here behind your pulpit, and I don't think we would." But you know, what is right and what is wrong? Was a funeral service, should that be different? Or should we protect this? I believe standing up here behind this pulpit, I know this right here is wood, but I believe it is still a sacred place. I do. And I don't believe any Tom, Dick, or Harry should have the opportunity to stand behind it to preach the gospel. And like I said, we don't know what a preacher's going to do when they hold a memorial service. We don't know if they're going to try to preach and teach their beliefs, or if they're just going to pay a memorial to the person that has passed away and gone on. I am saddened and I'm heartbroken both ways. Because Sister Connor did not get her wishes. But I'm also heartbroken because of where the church is at. Because I believe right now the church is in turmoil. I believe right now the church, a lot of people may feel the way I do, that their heart is broken for Sister Connor and her family, but they're also broken for our church. Brother Miller talked this morning about the devil, about how he's a liar. There is nothing more that the devil would love than to come right down the middle of this church and split it wide open. But you know what? As God's people, we cannot allow that to happen. You know, whatever mistakes might have been made, and I'm not saying mistakes have been made or wasn't made, but what I've got to say right now is something we need to take heed of. And I think everybody in this church should have been here tonight and hear what I've got to say. I think we need to come together as one. We don't need to be have contention between one another. What's been done has been done. We can't take it back. I know people are hurt. I know people say things when they're hurt that they don't really mean sometimes. But you know what? And when we're hurt, when we're angry, we say things sometimes that we should never say. Sometimes we do things that we should never do. But you know what? You can't take it back. You cannot take it back. So what must we do? We must treat one another with love. We must think about our church and what's important for our church and what's right for our church. Like I said, there's nothing more that the devil would want to do than to split it wide open. And I know and heard of churches being split and busted up to where there was nothing. We don't need that here. A lot of people say, I forgive, but I can't forget. That is true. But sometimes when we say we can't forget, we're not really forgiving. Not really. Brother Joey stood up this morning, and I thought, well, he's going to preach my sermon. But that's all right. Because you know what? If God is in it, you can't go wrong. Brother Miller standing this morning preaching about the devil being a liar and how he wants to bust the church up and cause confusion and dissension in our churches and within our people. You don't think Satan has had a field day this week with our church? With one another? He's had a ball. But are we going to allow it? Or are we going to tell him to get behind us? What are we going to do? We have revival coming up. There's a lot of people that come to this church that's under the influence of this church that need to be saved. Every one of us has a part. We're all the body of the church. We're all a part. We're all members. Each one of us has a certain part to do. I don't know what your part is, but God has got something for you. Whether it's to be like Sister Treva does and stands and testifies, I think she's doing her part. You know why? Because I get such a blessing from it. When Brother Dahl stands and he testifies, he said, you know, y'all might get tired of hearing this. I never get tired of hearing the story about the fence row, Brother Dahl. I never do. I never get tired of hearing anybody's testimony. Because you know, every time that you stand and give your testimony, you're giving praise to God. You're giving thanks to God. And you know what? You're letting people know that you've got something that only God can give you. Amen. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to come together as one and be as one? What has been done has been done. We've grieved. We've all been hurt. Things have been said. We've made mistakes. But what are you told when you're growing up? What does your parents have told you? That when you make mistakes, you're supposed to learn by them. You're supposed to learn, and that's what we need to do. I'm not saying that mistakes have been made. What I am saying that there has been a lot of confusion that has been going on in the past week. I understand that there are those that went to the funeral and that the preacher didn't say anything out of line. I understand that Sister Connor's son stood up and tried to explain and told things about Fairview Memorial Church and that people were hurt. That the church might have even, some of the people or the members of the church might have been embarrassed. Well, I want to say this. Don't never. As long as Fairview Memorial Church stands and preaches the truth, don't you ever be ashamed or embarrassed of this church. The devil liked for us to, because if we get embarrassed, if we get ashamed, I don't think we're going to work. We're not going to say anything. We're just going to be silent. We're going to be still. But how? If we do that and we act that way, how can we ever get to the point, be prayerful in our hearts like we need to be, to pray for these lost that they might be saved? How can we ever become in one accord and in harmony like we need to be to ever do the Lord's work that He'd be pleased with it? We can't do it unless we get rid of the detention. We get rid of the frustration. We get rid of the embarrassment. Get rid of the shame. And whatever else that you might feel of the things that have gone on or the things that might have been said, we need to become as one. I do not believe that there's not one person here tonight that's a member of this church that does not love this church. I don't believe there's one person tonight that's here that ain't concerned about the lost, that want to see the lost saved. I don't believe there's a one here tonight that wouldn't want to see a great revival break out when we have revival. How can Brother Moran, how can Brother Miller come and have the liberty that they need to preach the gospel when our revival starts if our church is scattered abroad? It's not going to happen, people. We need to come together in love. We need to come together in one accord. And what has been said, what has been done, it's the past. And we got to keep looking forward. We got to keep looking up and be prayerful and love one another and treat one another as you'd want to be treated. Ain't that what God wants? I believe it is. Maybe we've got off track. Maybe we fell off of that narrow road somewhere. But it's time that we got back on it. And as a church, as a member of the body of Christ, we must get on that narrow road that we may look straight and look to Him and do what's pleasing to Him and not what man wants, but what God wants, what our Savior wants. Just think about the love that He had for us. Just think about that great love that He had for us, that He shed His life's blood, that we may be able to enter the gates of heaven. We want others to go there, don't we? Sure we do. Let's be prayerful. Let's love one another in Christian love. You know, we face things every day in our lives. We face things in the places that we work, the places that we go, that's hard to deal with. We definitely don't need that in our churches. We need the Lord in our churches. We need the Lord to be pleased with us. I wish what had happened had never happened with Sister Connor and what's happened with our church. Like I said, it has broke my heart. And I know others' hearts have been broken. But it's time now that we must move on for the benefit of God's cause, for Jesus' cause, that our friends, our loved ones might be saved, and maybe people do look down on this church right now. You know, our hearts have been cut. There's been a big wound within our church. And you know what? It won't never heal as long as you keep taking that dagger, putting it in that wound and walling it around. It'll never heal. You got to take the dagger out. And this wound that has come up on this church, it says only time will heal, and sometimes it is. Time heals. When we have the loss of a loved one, as days go by, we can handle it just a little bit more. It's not that we love them less. It's not that we miss them less. But God has a way of working in us that He heals us. And God's got a way of healing this church if you allow it. And if you look to Him, where He will take time and take that time to heal us. I want to read something that I come across here. And it's just a footnote, and I found at the bottom of my Bible here. It says the church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ and reflects the spiritual organism of the whole church on earth. It says when the local church is called the body of Christ, the spiritual aspect is emphasized. As the church is considered to be the body, so individual members are seen as parts of the body. For any church to function properly, every member must do his or her best in a harmonious spirit of cooperation with other members. Had the church of Corinth learned this lesson, many of their problems would have been solved. Harmonious. We've got to be in harmony. And I want to read this, and I'm going to close. And this was Paul greeting the church at Corinth. Well, I want to read this as I leave with you tonight. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. May peace be with you. May God be with you. And may God bless you. May God bless our church. This is my prayer. God bless you. Put them in.
I want to say that I appreciate Brother Lovell sharing the burdens of his heart with us tonight. And there was a scripture that the Lord placed on my heart as I listened to Brother Buddy tonight. And I thought about when you endeavor to do something, and this may not be the exact dictionary definition, but if I understand, when you endeavor to do something, you really strive for that. I mean, you really work hard to do that. And the Apostle Paul, and this is the scripture that came to my heart, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and you can find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, that he told them, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I thought about when Paul wrote that, why was it necessary? Why did Paul, under inspiration, why was it necessary for him to write to the church at Ephesus to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Well, wasn't it because there would be things at times that would challenge it? And so he said and wrote to them to strive to keep it, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I say amen. That's what we need to do. And we'll face those things from time to time. I appreciate the thoughts tonight. And I want to ask Brother Strode to lead us a song. I'd like to ask you all to stand if you would.
237.
I want to ask Brother Lovell to come out front here, and let's come up and shake hands with Brother Lovell and show him we appreciate him coming tonight. And
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Thou art depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 58, number 58. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of
I want to encourage everyone to come to the prayer meeting Wednesday evening. Brother D'Souza, again, is Lord willing, is going to be here to preach. And Brother D'Souza lives on another continent. And you won't have an opportunity very often to hear Brother Frank preach. So I want to encourage everyone to come to prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7 o'clock if you can at all. Wonder if someone has a word on your heart this evening. Anyone have a word? Bless you, Brother Doss.
I want to thank the Lord too, Brother Miller, for this day. It's been a good day for us, of course. Everybody knows that. And thank the Lord for the church. Thank the Lord for the message that we've heard tonight, for the humility and love that he showed in the message and the care.
Amen.
I remember heard a saying that Daddy said. I've heard him say it a lot of times. I keep asking myself that question. What kind of church would my church be if all of the members were just like me? Y'all pray for me.
Amen. Bless you, Brother Strode. Someone else, something on your heart this evening. Bless you, Brother Lowe. Amen.
And being so good to me. And I wish I would remember my boys that they would be saved soon. And I just want to thank Buddy and Gail and Allison and Cheryl and Susan and all the people that teach our youth group. It is such a blessing to me. And maybe if you don't have children or small children, you don't know what they do. I just can't thank them enough. And
Amen.
You know, sometimes your children, they will listen to other people more than they will their own parents. So I think they're such an inspiration to our youth group, and I just love them and want to tell them how much I appreciate all their work they do with our young children. And Buddy, he just can relate so well to the youth. I don't know what it is, but I just have a special love for him. He just seems like he has a love for our youth group. So I wish I would really remember them and remember all our children. And I just love this church. And I'm so thankful for Mackenzie, you know.
Amen.
And you just rejoice when it's somebody else's child just as much as you would your own. So I'm so thankful for that. So
y'all
just remember my boys and remember Johnny.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Don. Appreciate that. Remember her family in your prayers. It's been requested tonight that we close our service with an altar prayer. And so I'm going to ask if you